Well, we have our in-studio guest with us this morning. Mr. Frank Campbell has entered the building. Good morning, Frank.
Yes, room is true. I'm here.
Yeah. Now, this morning I have a theme to my songs every day.
I kind of got the gist of.
You kind of got the gist of that?
Yeah. I think everyone's in a little.
Yeah.
Not so happy place this morning.
Yeah. So I think it's time for some Bonnie Raitt, get some blues, because, well, three-time losers. Three-time loser. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Wake Up Niagara here on WLVL. My name is Eric Cook. Hank Nivens is off for the day. He'll be back tomorrow. But in studio, we have our guest, our special guest, Frank Campbell, who is the director for the Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara and the County Sports Fishing Coordinator. And he's got his own fishing charter company, and he's an all-around good egg. Good morning, Frank.
Well, I agree with most of that, but
so how's the fishing?
Actually, fishing's been good. Starting to change a little bit. We're starting to warm up with the water, with obviously having some warmer temperatures come in and a little bit of sun on the water. The water's perking up. It's up about 4 or 5 degrees in the last 3 or 4 days, which is a significant jump for a big body of water. But that being said, fishing is still very good. The guys out in Lake Ontario are doing it on king salmon. The river is producing a lot of bass, a mix in of trout here and there, and the Niagara Bar has been very good, starting to wane down a little bit. The bass fishing up in Lake Erie has been good. They're starting to catch some walleyes. They're getting, it's a good time of year to be a fisher person, no doubt about it. Whether it's shore, boat, pond, whatever it may be. You know, great time of the year to get out there and get fishing. We have some opportunities for some kids coming up with kids fishing contests. I mean, I'm thinking this is Memorial Day weekend coming up, so it's almost it's crazy, you know, and I'm thinking in my head some of these things that are going on coming up. We have the Pro-Am tournament the 5th and the 6th of June in Alcott and Wilson, which is a big event for us. We also have some kids fishing contests. I'm going to do a little check ceremony today with Legislator Irene Myers and Legislator Mike Casale, where they've funded some of the prizes for the kids fishing event out of Youngstown on the 13th of June, and giving these kids the opportunity to not only get out there and fish, but give them the tools to do it. You know, one thing that happened years ago, Eric, with the kids fishing contests is the Niagara Wranglers used to do a lot of kids fishing contests and involvement in the kids, which I thought was great. But, you know, several years we did it, and it's a lot of work, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, is this worth it? And then you see these kids, they really don't have anything. You know, they're looking for something, and they come to the contest, and we give them a fishing rod, or we give them some tackle. And I'm driving down Hyde Park Boulevard one day going wherever the heck I was going, and I look and I see four kids on bikes, you know, and this is the end of June, let's say. And all these kids are carrying these fishing rods and tackle boxes that were given out at this contest. So they're going fishing. It gave them something to do, and maybe with us not being there to give them the tackle boxes and the rods and reels, they wouldn't have done it. But hopefully that started a lifelong love of fishing, but it also gives them something to do and keeps them out of trouble. So, you know, that's my main reasoning behind pushing a lot of these kids' events, and there are a lot of them. So, you know, you could pretty much go weekend to weekend to weekend to weekend bringing your kids fishing. We have Hooks for Harry down in Alcott, which, you know, recognizes Harry Hazlett, you know, when mm-hmm. he was all the fisherman that he was, you know.
Oh, what a joy.
through Ned, we got some stuff going on. Hopefully at Hyde Park, there's a Wilson Conservation tournament. There's also one that's going to be in Cambria this year. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and I love to see it. So, you know, my thought is let's give these kids the tools to fish all summer long if they don't already have them. And if they do have them, let's give them some neat stuff so they can go out there and continue doing what they love. And it's a great opportunity for kids and parents to get together, grandparents to get together. A lot of these events will offer expertise mm-hmm. or, you know, learning opportunities for parents that are maybe single parents or grandparents that are, you know, watching your grandkids and don't really know how to fish or haven't fished. So it's a great opportunity to get the family involved.
Agreed. So now let me ask you this. How long has this been going on?
Oh, there's been kids fishing tournaments for years. I mean, the anglers were doing the one at Hyde Park for 10, 15 years.
And it
stopped probably a little prior to COVID. And there's some stuff. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that's got to go on from, you know, making sure that there's a safety plan in place and things like that. So,
right.
You know, we're getting back on that wagon, and we're making sure that, you know, these kids have the opportunity. As a matter of fact, I know down in Youngstown we have over 30 kids already signed up, but one of the things is they have to bring an adult. So, you know, you can bring two or three kids, but there has to be adults involved because we're not going to babysit.
Right. Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is, you know, if it's been going on for that long, have you seen any faces come back as adults saying, hey, you know, 15 years ago, you gave me a fishing pole, and I'm a fisherman now. You know, do you have any stories like that that they were able to share?
Well, number one, Eric, you're making me into an old person.
No, you did that.
Actually, you see a lot of the kids that maybe used to be involved in different mm-hmm. levels. So kids teaching kids, that sort of thing, coming sure. back, and these kids are now the ones teaching other kids. And,
right.
You know, it's a great... It's just great to see the kids out there and, you know, get them away from the computer screens and their gaming, whatever they're doing, get them out and get some fresh air. And, you know, I think that's what it's all about, and setting them up for a lifelong love and passion. It's something, fishing is something that you can do forever.
Yeah, absolutely. More with Frank Campbell here on Wake Up Niagara in Hometown 1340 WLVL.
And we have Jumpin' Jack Frank over in Studio 1A. Good morning.
Got to keep things moving, Eric.
Yeah, man, I was impressed with those moves you had going on there.
Jack LaLanne stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, though. Look what happened to him.
Eric, I'm aging myself by saying stuff like that.
Yes.
I was only a wee toddler when he was around.
Yes, I remember him vaguely, myself. Yeah, but he was always in good shape. It was not that Arnold Schwarzenegger looking kind of good shape. It was just good health.
Yeah, he looked like he was a swimmer.
Yeah. Yeah, good structure.
Exercise dude versus a weightlifting dude.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now look at Arnie. I got you. Spit it out, man. Spit it out.
I'll be back.
Yeah. So we got some good things going on in the county. You got some fish coming out?
Yeah. We got, as I said before the break, the Niagara Wranglers are releasing their fish tonight from the Penn Project down in Youngstown. And kudos to Youngstown for always helping out, letting them have the space to do that, because it really is important to get these fish the best chance they can get to get out there and become adults. And this is the way you do it, through a Penn Project, which imprints fish, which brings them back to the Niagara River, which also improves their survival about 2.7 to 1. So there's a lot of great things that go on in that, the Penn Projects. But tonight they let them go, and interestingly enough, they let them go right before dark. So they'll go down there, Matt Yablonsky and his wife Christine, they'll go down there and cut the sides of the pen and basically drop them to the bottom, and the fish will swim out at their leisure, but they do it right before dark. Why do they do it right before dark?
Hey, Frank, why do they do it right before dark?
I was going to ask that for you, Eric, but
well, I was trying
glad
to.
You asked it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I asked, too. Yeah.
They do it because they want to avoid the cormorants and the diving birds. The cormorants aren't active at night generally, although we've seen them hunt at night here and there. Usually they're roosting in the trees, but by letting them go at night, we give them a 10-12 hour head start in the process of getting used to the water, getting used to not being penned, and being free. So, they're at the point now where they're actually feeding not only on what is put in the water to feed them in pellets, but also, they'll take small minnows and they'll take, other stuff in the water. So that portion of their life is set. But now they got to get their bearings and be able to, avoid predation, and the cormorants have been a real issue, whether it's Alcott Wilson or the Niagara River. We've had stockings that have been beat up on by our lovely cormorants, which, to me, is an issue not only here but nationwide. We're hearing things from the people in Michigan. One of the congressmen in Michigan just offered a bill, that says, we need to do something about these cormorants. There's just too many of them. It's when we as humans have unbalanced nature, and there are cormorants flying through that by the hundreds of thousands, through Lake Ontario, and until they actually set up nesting colonies, they can't start culling them or, doing things to, dissuade them from nesting in the area. So we see cormorants that are roosting in places like Fort Niagara. That eventually is going to lead to a nesting colony, which in turn will not only take a good deal of stocking fish, but also bait fish and other fish. I've seen them take smallmouth bass up to about 14 inches. So they have a detrimental effect. Yeah, in addition to what they're going to do to the trees, they're going to defoliate the trees, and the trees are going to end up dying. They displace native birds. There's a situation on Strawberry Island where an eagle's nest was there, and they're actually in the nest with the eagles. So, there's just that many of them. Below the falls, same scenario. Until they decide that this is not something anti-bird or anti-nature, and, start reducing their numbers and controlling their numbers, we're going to have this issue, and it's going to always be, there's too many birds, there's not enough birds. We need to find that middle ground that is reasonable and a common sense approach where, we know that there's a enough birds that they can, you know, survive, but also enough birds or not too many birds that they are detrimental to the fishery and to the land. I mean, if I was a landowner in Wilson over there at Sunset Island, I'd be up in arms. They're
sure.
They're in the trees over there. Their droppings are so acidic that they actually kill the trees eventually. Well, you're going to see that start happening. And, you know, if I had a property that's right along the harbor or the lake itself, and these birds are coming in and doing that type of damage, I'd want to do something. So actually there is an opportunity for landowners to get permits to reduce the numbers of cormorants on their land. So, you know, there are options, but there's not a lot of people taking advantage of those options.
Right. And with no natural predators, they just keep going. Like you said earlier, they live to, what, 20 years, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, they're actually they live to about 20 years.
And grief.
They were oiling the nests, or oiling the eggs for a while, but they were sued. That had to stop, you know, which had some type of impact. But when a bird lives 20 years, they're going to do a lot of damage. These birds eat about a pound of fish per bird per day. Now, considering that we put these stocking fish or trout, let's say trout or salmon. The salmon go in at about 60 to 70 per pound. So they're eating 60 or 70 stockers per bird per day. Figure that out. It doesn't take long to decimate a whole stocking.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it kind of just seems like, why are we bothering?
Yeah, well, there's got to be a balance again, and
sure.
Eric, it's just, you know, the state wants to do something, the federal government wants to do something, and they just keep getting sued by the, you know, by the antis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a common sense approach. You know,
right.
Let's figure something out where, you know, there's some harmony between the birds and, you know, the users. It's just almost to the point where you're saying exactly what you said. What's the sense?
Right.
You know, a lot of effort, a lot of money, and a lot of potential, you know, future impact, economic impact is being, you know, swallowed by these birds when they come in by the hundreds or thousands sometimes,
right.
and overrun a whole stocking. Not good.
Well, we're going to solve the rest of the problems of the world after the 8:30 news. How do you feel? How do you feel about that?
We can make an attempt, Eric. I don't know
I think
if
we can.
People want to hear it, but we'll give
I
them
think
to
they
them.
Do. Okay. I think between you and I, we can solve them all. So good morning, everybody. It is 8:43 in the morning, 70 degrees. You're listening to Wake Up Niagara here on Hometown 1340 WLVL. The award-winning Buffalo Broadcasting Hall of Famer Hank Nevins is not here today. He's taking the day off, but he will be here tomorrow. And my name is Eric Cook, and over in Studio 1A, the big room, as it were, is your friend and mine, Mr. Frank Campbell.
That's a big step down from Hank.
Well, we're all a big step down from Hank. You know, put the two of us together, maybe we could kind of sort of look up at him. I don't know.
You're stuck with us today.
That's right. That's right. And you'll get through it just like we had to get through it. I tell you what, it's really creepy coming in here, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody here. Because usually Hank is already here by the time I get here. He gets here, I don't know what time Hank gets here.
Yeah, he might sleep in that room.
That's what I'm thinking.
I've seen
the news cave is... Yeah, there's that.
Well, that was after 4 o'clock, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just me and the deer.
Nice. Nice.
Yep.
Sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's creepy.
Yeah, this morning it was a little of both.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it was all right.
Talking to yourself.
Yeah.
And then you hear a noise.
Yeah.
Da-dun.
Yeah. And you just never, you never know what's going to... You know, what's lurking beneath the surface
exactly.
of the things. So tell me, Frank, there's some good stuff going on in Lewiston this week, is there
yeah,
not?
Yeah, yeah. We got the Upward Niagara Chamber is putting together the Smelt Festival. The Smelt Festival is going on for a good number of years. But this segment of it will be... Friday the 22nd, this Friday, from 6 to 10 o'clock at the Griffin Pub, down right on the water. We'll have the Niagara Wranglers selling 50-50 tickets, and others will help us sell them, to raise funds for the Penn Project. We're also going to have our buddy Ned there, Ned Liebrock from Catching Dreams Charters.
Ah, love Ned.
Yeah, he's going to be raffling off a charter to, you know, hopefully raise some funds to get some of those kids out there that are fighting pediatric cancer, you know, out there fishing this summer. So, you know, a lot of cool stuff. The Griffin's selling boats of smelt, which a lot of people used to go dip their smelt in the river, and that just isn't happening anymore, at least in the numbers that we would need it.
Right.
So there's a bunch of reasons behind that. One of them being alewife numbers up, smelt numbers will be down because they feed on things. But essentially, you can go there for $5 and get a boat full of smelt and, you know, relive the old smelting days, but not having to do all the dirty work of netting them, cleaning them,
right,
and cooking them.
So they're going to throw them in a little bit of butter, fry them up, and you get to eat them.
Yeah, yeah. So you can buy coupons for $5 a boat, you know, through the chamber. They'll be selling them. You go
nice.
Up to the food truck, and you actually are able to sample the smelt. It's a decent portion of them. There's also a smelt eating contest during the event. Last year, I think there were 11 participants. You eat 2 pounds of smelt as fast as you can, and then probably puke, but
right.
That's beside the point.
There's always that.
So I was in it last year, and I'm just not a big smelt fan. I can eat
right.
a few, and I'm staring at 2 pounds. Yeah. Eric, I took one bite, and I just walked. I was like, I don't even like smelt, I told him.
I forfeit.
Yeah, and then there's guys, they're eating, and they, you know, look like the Joey Chestnut type dudes, you know?
Oh,
and they're eating, and they're eating, and it's funny because one of the guys that was in it was Steve Broderick, the supervisor of Lewiston, and the owner of the Griffin, Ken Scabilia, is right
yeah.
next to him. And he is, as Steve is taking a bite of a smelt, eating one of his smelt, he's taking one out of his pan and putting it in Ken's pan without Ken's knowledge of it. So Ken probably ate 2.5 pounds of smelt, and he won the doggone contest.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny. It's all on tape if
Way
you go
to
back
go,
and watch
Ken.
It. Yeah, yeah. So it was pretty cool. So now he's known as the Smelt King down there.
Hey, somebody's got to do it.
You know, there's some live music. The Griffin's providing a band, you know, down on the waterfront. What else?
Oh, really?
What could get better? Friday night, smelt, a few cocktails if you'd like, or some soft drinks if you'd like,
yeah.
and listening to a band with the fishing crowd, right? So, good gosh, it's a win for everyone. Get there early if you're going. I can tell you that parking's at a premium. If you're going, come with more than one person, drive one vehicle. You know, carpool.
Right.
Get 3 or 4 people into that car and get down there. And the weather is going to cooperate. It looks like it's going to be a good time. And hopefully we'll raise a few dollars for the Penn Project to keep that going. And, you know, everyday costs on that. And more importantly, you know, get some funds raised to get these kids out there through Ned's Catching Dreams Charters. I mean, I think that it's a great opportunity. And, you know, kudos to the Upward Niagara Chamber for keeping this event going. It used to be ran just by the Niagara River Anglers. Down at the dock, we used to dip the smelt, clean them, cook them the same time, having a few sarsaparillas, you know, down there to water edge, and at a fire. It's evolved a little bit. It got bigger. The anglers.
A little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, they sold 800 boats last year. They sold 800 smelt boats, so, you know, they sold out, and basically they keep that truck going until they sell out of them. You know, I think it's hundreds and hundreds of pounds of smelt that they go through, and they actually, this year, there's a gentleman that refers to himself as the smelt king of the East Coast. They sell the most smelt of anyone. They're a wholesaler, smelt wholesaler, and we actually got the smelt from him through Domino's Tops in Lewiston. This guy saw it online and was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, a smelt festival.
So you're not out there with a net and a 5-gallon bucket anymore?
Not anymore, no. We took the modern road to get there. I mean, basically we couldn't. It just got too big for the anglers. There were 6 or 7 fryers going. They couldn't keep up. They couldn't get enough smelt. They couldn't clean them.
Right.
The sucky part's cleaning the smelt.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. I mean, you know.
Your thumb gets tired.
Yeah, and now there's a limit on them. So, you know, in the name of conservation and common sense,
right?
We've decided to go, you know, that route several years ago
mm-hmm.
and make it into a true festival where you have
Smart.
A band, you have, you know, indoor opportunities so people can use the facilities if they need. They can go
nice.
In. And, if you're not a big smelt person, but you want to try a couple of them, You know, you go in and then you get a burger, you know, whatever
right.
it may be.
So whatever.
It just offers options and opportunities. Keeps the idea that the smelt fishing and smelt festival is still alive. And, you know, again, hopefully we'll raise a few dollars for a couple great causes. So look it up. If you you don't want any more information, Upper Niagara Chamber has it right on their website under events. This Friday, the 22nd, Lewiston Griffin Pub. You know, I'll be there. Some of the other captains will be there selling 50-50 tickets. And hopefully, you know, if it all goes well, we're going to have a boat there and kind of show people these are the boats we fish out of the river.
Right.
So, you know, it's an opportunity to not only, you know, celebrate all that is smelt in the village of Lewiston, but also, you know, let people know that this fishery is alive and thriving, you know, as an overall.
That's really important too, isn't it, Frank?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and of course, to raise money for Ned and his children with pediatric cancer, that is just so important. Every dollar counts.
It really does. I mean, it takes about, you know, if you've raised $1,000, you send four kids out. You know, I know through the fishing expo, we raise enough funds to send 20 to 25 kids out. So that's phenomenal, you know, and that's kind of what we're aiming for, you know, that sort of scenario.
Okay, so again, that is this Friday.
22nd.
From 6 until 10.
6 to 10.
At?
The Griffin Pub.
Griffin.
Yep, the Griffin Gastropub right on Water Street, on the Lower Niagara River. The band's playing. The smelt are frying, the drinks are flowing, and hopefully we're raising some funds for some good causes.
Right on. Love it. Frank, that is a great way to end this segment.
And I want to say this, Eric.
Yes,
Lewiston
sir.
Has never smelt so good. And that's a better way to end it.
Oh, Frank, 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 Frank. Okay, so it's you know what? It's time for the Tuesday edition of Trivia Teaser coming up after this brief message.